This is the One Thing Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Adam Rindy. The One Thing Podcast brings together leaders in functional and naturopathic medicine to discuss actionable information that may unlock puzzles in the areas of gut health, brain health, metabolism, and longevity. Please note, these episodes do not replace the opinion of your doctor. They are not intended to diagnose or treat any condition. Please discuss this information with your provider and discuss your own unique personal health history before adapting this information. Please subscribe to our episodes so that you can stay on top of the most current information in these areas of medicine. Welcome back to this week's episode of the One Thing Podcast. I am delighted to bring on Linda Stiluti to speak with us about gut-directed hypnotherapy. And she is really enjoyable to speak with. I think you'll enjoy this conversation. Let me tell you a little bit about her first. She's a clinical hypnotherapist and wellness coach specializing in IBS and digestive disorders using gut-directed hypnotherapy. Her evidence-based treatment is founded on almost 40 years of clinical research that blends gut-directed hypnotherapy sessions, affirmation tracks, guided imagery, and wellness strategies. They're available through her online programs that you can find on gut-directedhypnotherapy.com. And we have links in the show notes for those. In this conversation, we sort of went into a breakdown of the different assumptions that are made about hypnotherapy, what it is, what it isn't, how it can help us with breaking through obstacles to our own healing, especially in gut-brain disorders where there's sort of a balance between the vagus nerve sending signals from the gut to the brain and from the brain to the gut. And we see a lot of dysfunction along the vagus nerve in IBS and related disorders. And it was great to hear how hypnotherapy helps modulate this imbalance. And the way I look at this is that the subconscious mind is something that we are lacking awareness of and its impact on our health. And hypnotherapy shines a light on the subconscious mind and helps us be aware of certain patterns of thought or certain behaviors that are we're going through and doing automatically. And anything that's going to guide someone in that process of learning about how they're functioning, how they're operating in the world, to me is beneficial. I first got turned on to gut-directed hypnotherapy through the Rome Foundation and some of their classwork, and then learning that mind-gut interventions have a very high success rate in IBS. So I was delighted to speak with someone who, this is her wheelhouse, this is what she does. And I hope you enjoy the conversation and the ins and outs of gut-directed hypnotherapy with Linda Stiluti. Thank you for tuning in, and please make sure to check out the link sponsors below and share this with your friends and loved ones and anybody that might benefit from these episodes. Thanks so much. Linda, welcome to the One Thing Podcast. I'm delighted to be here with you today.
Hi, Adam. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here today.
Yes, you're welcome. And we're just catching up about your career and like where you're living and where you're set up and practicing. And it's great to get to know you. I'd love just to kind of hear a little bit more just for the beginning of the conversation about your background and sort of the moment where hypnotherapy or gut-directed hypnotherapy came into your life and like what was the aha moment that brought you into this space?
Yeah, so a little bit about my background. I'm from Canada, from the west coast of Canada, living in Mexico now. I'm a certified clinical hypnotherapist, and I specialize in IBS, digestive disorders. And what led me to hypnotherapy was honestly my own healing journey. When I was in school getting a degree and I was working a high-stress job, I developed digestive issues. I was feeling depressed, anxious, I burnt out. And it was a really challenging time for me. And it kind of just felt like my whole body went out of whack. And I didn't really know what to do at the time. I did go to doctors. They did some tests. They weren't really able to find anything. And I was left feeling a little bit on my own. And so digestion, I was like, okay, I'm going to try some dietary changes. And I did find like gluten wasn't working for me. It would really affect my motility for sometimes up to a week. So I cut some foods out of my diet. It kind of helped, but I learned to just live for it for a while. I didn't really know there was alternative approaches. But during this time, I was really struggling with my anxiety and depression. So I knew I needed to make a big change in my life. I knew that I didn't want to keep living this way, and what I was doing was making me sick. So this challenging period really was a catalyst for me to dive deep into how do I find happiness and peace in my life? How do I create a life that I really love? I think I'd been programmed that, you're just supposed to work really hard and hadn't really learned work-life balance. And so I got super deep into exploring different healing modalities, different techniques for emotional healing. How can I incorporate morning routine and just make my life more enjoyable? And so I did a lot of deep inner work, got into meditation, yoga, just exploring different things. And I was still noticing some areas I was stuck, so I wanted to go deeper. And I came across Joe Dispenza. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but I really love him. I love his work. He's done some of the biggest studies on the mind and meditation and healing. And so he's amazing. And he talks about the power of the subconscious mind and hypnosis. A lot of his work is hypnotherapy. And so I was like, oh, I really want to try this. So I started getting some hypnosis for my anxiety. And it totally blew me away, because in the period of that time, I removed such a huge chunk of anxiety, of weight that I felt I had been carrying my entire life was just gone, and it didn't come back. I was kind of like, is it going to come back? Like, this is weird. It was actually strange to feel at peace because I hadn't felt that way for so long. And this is where like something just really clicked when I experienced that. It only took a few sessions that we like targeted the anxiety. But what clicked was that I had been living my whole life feeling a certain way and not knowing that it was possible to feel so much better. I had carried, like, I knew it was possible, but I'd never fully experienced it. And it's like, wow, we have a default state of being, but that doesn't mean that's normal or that we should be feeling that way. And so I kind of dedicated my life to finding like the most amazing transformational way of improving our lives. And so because it blew me away so much, I'm like, I'm going to study this. This just totally clicked with me. And I'm like, I need to learn everything that I can about what just happened to me, because it felt just so quick and rapid. And my life was never the same after that. So I dove into it. I also healed my gut through hypnotherapy and through, these lifestyle changes that I made. Now, like, I can eat all the food I wasn't able to before, and I can digest it fine. So it's really unlocking this mind-body connection and learning to process my emotions, to come back into a state of balance. And through my training as well, just realizing that gut-directed hypnotherapy is one of the most researched areas of hypnosis, actually.
Yeah.
They have almost 40 years of clinical research showing it to be a very effective treatment for IBS. And I was like, wow, all these people suffering, so many of my friends, more than 50% of my friends were struggling with their gut. We'd talk about it. And I was like, I didn't know of a lot of different modalities that were targeting this brain-gut connection. So I decided to focus my practice and go as deep as I could to be able to provide a new possibility for people that are struggling with their digestion, because I don't want people to feel like they're going to be stuck feeling this way forever, which a lot of clients, when they come to me, they feel like they've tried everything. They've tried the diets, they've tried the supplements, they've tried even meditation. It hasn't really been working. So then we want to get to the root of the problem. let's address the mind-body connection and get it back into balance again so things can work properly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what led me there.
That's outstanding. And I think your point about the research that's been put towards hypnotherapy is really a good point, because it's, I remember one doing some preparation for a presentation on IBS, and I was going through all the different therapies and how effective they are, and sort of rating them by the evidence. And mind-body therapies for IBS actually ranked number one of all the things I was preparing to present to my colleagues. Wow. So, you know, it's something that, you know, we really need to pay attention to. And, you know, why wouldn't it be one of the first thing that's offered if it's the best therapy? So, so let's kind of back up, and I would love to circle back to some definitions about hypnotherapy, but just big picture wise, how is the brain involved with all of sort of the gut and in your view, and how does this relate to eventually using hypnotherapy as a treatment?
Yeah, I feel like the most important aspect of how they're connected is that your brain is directly connected by the vagus nerve to your gut. So the vagus nerve is like this highway of communication. It's where the information that is being sent from your brain down to your gut and back from your gut up to your brain, because they actually can both function independently. So there's signals of information. And when your nervous system is chronically activated or you're under stress, they've shown that this can actually dysregulate the signals that are being sent from your brain to your gut. And the nervous system is such a key, I find, to really getting to the root of the digestive issues, because it plays such a big role. And when we're stressed, when we're anxious, when we have intense emotional experiences or events that happen in our life, this puts a lot of pressure on our nervous system. And it can lead to things getting dysregulated and the cortisol that's running through our body. When you're in fight or flight, like, your body is not prioritizing digestion. So that alone, being able to recognize and become attuned to what state your body is in, and even like when you eat, are you stressed? Are you rushing around? Are you going and doing things? It's going to affect how you can actually digest. And over time, I've noticed that some people, it can get worse and worse. It's almost like their body is learning this response pattern that can sound the alarms. And so we really want to go in and restore balance once again. You know, if your body at some point was able to digest properly, it has the information within it. At some point, it went out of balance. We want to bring it back to that place.
Yeah. And I think it's, as you're talking, I can't help but see and reflect upon how people just have developed a norm of their operation. Sort of like you're speaking to about your own background, is like you didn't even know that you could feel a different way, or there was a different experience you could have. And it seems to me like people, and especially, you know, in the last 20 years, just sort of this disconnect with like the way they eat, the slowing down, the impact of where they, how they eat, the chewing of the food, all these things, and the kind of stress that is associated with mealtime, that it, that's actually become the norm. And the slowing down is actually more kind of rare. What would you say about that?
Yeah, it's a really good observation. I find that we have in our society, I feel like this program of working hard, and how hard you work is attached to how much value you have as a human being, how much money you have, how much success. And it's pulled us a little bit, it's almost created like a distortion away from how our bodies actually should be functioning and feeling well. Like, we need time and space. We need to be able to relax. When we relax, our body goes into rest and digest mode. We need to be doing things that bring us joy, you know, having time just for us, not just work and then coping with work when you get home because you're feeling so stressed. I was in that cycle, and I think a lot of people are in that cycle, or you live for the weekend without fully integrating like work-life balance, and prioritizing self-care is super important, because if your cup is empty, you can be more on edge, and yeah, it's just not the funnest way to live, or the most pleasant way to live.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, the brain being in this state makes digestion less optimal, and some of the kind of hardwiring that's going on with the nervous system is setting up the gut for certain patterns.
Yeah. And then there's the cycle, right? The stress cycle of like, you get stressed because you're afraid your symptoms are going to happen. Then you get the symptoms and it makes you more anxious and stressed. And it becomes like this vicious cycle where it's compounding and you're getting more anxious and really expecting the worst to happen. And that can prime your body to respond and have more difficulty, right? We can start to have a physical reaction before the food even enters our mouth. So I know people that they'll already feel it in their stomach before they've even eaten the food because they're stressed about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is there certain risk factors for developing like a brain gut problem? I mean, there's subsets of like IBS that really people, you know, developed because they had a gut infection and then, you know, went on to have post-infectious IBS, and they may or may not have had anxiety disorders or what have you. But, you know, these chronic patterns with IBS or SIBO or functional digestive disorders, that what are the risk factors that you see in your practice? I mean, I know the ones that we can kind of look up on the internet and that type of thing, and, you know, that have been documented. But like, what do you see as a risk factor or things that show up to develop a sort of a mind-gut problem?
Yeah, I found what I've noticed most commonly in my practice, it tends to be people who are more highly anxious and or who are living more stressful lives. I know that there's different things that contribute to it, like even, you know, like antibiotics or gut infections, like you're mentioning as well. That's why it's good to take a holistic approach and make sure that you're getting support in different areas to get a proper idea of what's going on. But usually, yeah, it tends to be more of the anxiety and stress that I'm seeing as a common indicator. Mm-hmm. And the ability to like digest life, I think, is a thing. It's like, it's hard to digest your emotions, to process what's going on in your life, or around a time when it started. Like, I've had clients, end of exam periods, they were so stressed, their digestion never recovered. Did things like that.
Did you just say it? Difficulty digesting life?
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's such a really profound description, because, like, you know, it's like, yeah, it's makes a lot of sense. So, well, let's go into some definitions of like what hypnotherapy is and what it isn't, so that people really kind of can wrap their head around what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I think it's really important, because there's a lot of misconceptions around hypnotherapy. We see it in movies being like used as mind control or a stage hypnosis for entertainment. And hypnotherapy is very different. It's the therapeutic use of states of hypnosis, which are states of trance. So to demystify it, trance is a natural phenomena that literally everybody experiences every single day. When you go to sleep, you're going into an altered brainwave state. You go into delta. When you're watching TV or watching a movie and you get totally absorbed in what you're watching, this is a state of trance. Mm-hmm. Another common, when people are driving, especially on the highway, you're driving and then you look at the clock and you're like, how did an hour go by? It's almost like, well, in those cases, is your subconscious mind is driving the car. So it's not something unfamiliar to us, but we've defined it as hypnosis because we're using these altered brainwave states to access the deeper levels of the mind, which is where it's like your operating system. It's where all the information about you is stored. If you think of your subconscious mind, it's where your memories, your emotions, your beliefs, your autonomic body functions, most of your habits and behaviors are quite rooted in the subconscious mind. And your conscious mind, just the difference is what you're consciously aware of. It's more the analytical thinking mind. So when we can access these deeper levels of the mind, that's where the change happens. So I always tell people, if they can daydream, you can experience the benefits of hypnosis. Now, some of the misconceptions around it, like I was scared the first time I got hypnotherapy. I'm going to be honest. I thought that I was going to not have control over what I say. Like I was like, what if I say something embarrassing? Or I don't know. I was like, that was some fear that I had. But going through it, I realized you have full control over what you share or not. You are still you and you're still there. It's just a relaxed state of internal focus. Some people describe it like almost a dreamy, floaty state, but everybody describes it differently, a little bit differently. We're taking you into a relaxed state of mind and body. Some people think they're not going to be conscious. They're going to be asleep, which is also not true. You're going to be fully present. I'm just going to be guiding you through the experience and using specific techniques to help soothe and calm the gastrointestinal tract to restore the mind-body balance. And then also we can do emotional healing and really get to the root of why your body might be creating these symptoms. We can go in and communicate with those deeper parts of your body as well.
Okay. And so this partnership that you have with your clients, how important is it with matching up with someone, like the match between the practitioner and the client? Is that a big element of the outcome?
I would say yes, because trust needs to be there. It takes vulnerability and openness to go into these spaces with someone. So I would definitely say having a level of trust in the safety, in the care of the container that's being created. If you don't trust someone, then you're going to have a wall up, and it can definitely affect your ability, especially in a space like your subconscious mind. And so I find it's very important. And that's why I like to establish that. Like, I want to be a supportive, compassionate space for my clients to receive the care that they need and make sure that they feel really held in that space as they're going through this healing process.
Mm-hmm. It must take a lot of emphasis on your own self-care to be that.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, because it's a very honorable path. And to have the kind of right energy and right safety, you know, I'm sure it takes a lot to bring that for your clients.
Yeah, definitely. It is a priority for me, making sure that I am doing my healing work just as much as I'm supporting people. Because I recognize that to the degree that I can grow and evolve on my journey and heal, is I feel respondent to the degree that I can take my clients there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of my number one priorities is like making sure I'm in the best space so I can be that for my clients too.
Yeah, that makes sense. So like a typical session is, can you give us the details or the kind of overview, like how long does it last? Where is it done? What actually takes place in a session?
Definitely. So how I work with people, we do an 8-week program together. Every session is 60 minutes. And at the beginning, we do a check-in. We might do some educational wellness strategies. It's not talk therapy, though. So the majority of the session is the hypnosis. 45 minutes, 50 minutes is about the hypnosis session. And then during the hypnotherapy, during the gut-directed hypnotherapy, we're using things like progressive muscle relaxation. We're using deepeners to help you access these deeper levels of the mind. Then we're using guided imagery. This helps to communicate what we're creating, what we want with the subconscious mind, direct suggestion to promote healing, and really targeting what symptoms it is they're struggling with what they want to be achieving instead, as we're creating a new response pattern in the body. So that's typically what it looks like. And then there's the additional like emotional healing and more interactive work as well that I do that can be deeply, deeply healing as well.
So do people sometimes have more of a breakthrough on things that they didn't really know was inside them, or sometimes maybe some scary trauma or experiences coming up? Are there things that you have to kind of really be aware that might happen before you enter into session?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trained in helping people move through intense experiences and big emotional charges, but it doesn't happen really that it just bubbles out of nowhere. Usually we would be targeting it because the client knows that that is affecting them. There's something that happened, it was traumatic or it was very challenging for them, and that's what they want to work on. It could be like from a really toxic relationship or the death of a loved one or something like this. Then we specifically target it during the session. It can happen sometimes where people notice emotions coming up, and then we work with it in those moments. It's important that we have that dialogue so that they let me know what's going on as well during it, and then we will be targeting that which is coming up. So
makes sense.
Yeah.
I've always wondered also if like the situations where people have developed food phobias or fears or sort of have become on a very restricted diet because of the pain they have with eating or bloating that they might have. Does hypnotherapy help people deal with those scenarios?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a common thing that clients come to me for that we work through, which is food fear and anxiety around eating. I have clients that will skip meals altogether because they just don't want to deal with feeling horrible after they eat. And so there's a couple steps to it, but yeah, hypnotherapy is very, very good at addressing phobias. Also phobias, for example, I've worked recently with a couple clients that are struggling with the fear of using public bathrooms. They just can't go. And so they end up not leaving the house in the morning or not being able to leave in the evening because they're just afraid because they can't use a public bathroom. So things like that can be really take a really big toll on our day-to-day life. Like we don't even realize, but when you have that big fear, it's preventing you from living life normally. So I help people address that and really get to the root of it.
Yeah, I can echo that too with a lot of my patients that I've worked with. It's like one of the biggest moments is when people feel comfortable leaving the home again, when, you know, we're really making progress, when it's like I could go out for an afternoon or an event without worrying about the bathroom or needing to use a bathroom or fear of having to use a public bathroom. That's a big thing that, like, I think people who haven't lived or been around this world don't even realize, and you kind of take for granted, is, you know, just being able to leave the house is such a freedom and blessing for people, and can often be impacted by health and other disorders.
Definitely, definitely. I'm actually curious, is there something that you notice in your clients that can sometimes be like a blockage that can be hard to move through, or like you mentioned here, something that you notice come up often?
I think really like the main one is if they've controlled their diet or their IBS symptoms through becoming more and more restricted and having four or five groups, and the pain and suffering in their memory bank of what things were like before they went on their restricted diet, and to break through and start to have more diversity and food freedom is probably the biggest thing that I see is, you know, and the quality of life has gone down so much at that point, and health has declined at that point, and also the gut microbiome balance has declined at that point. And so getting across that bridge to having food freedom, embracing food again, is probably the number one challenge I see in this population.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something I help people with as well, is the just trying to remove the fear, the anxiety that comes up, so they can come in with a more neutral space to slowly reintroduce new foods when they're ready and have a space where we can be working through whatever's coming up around that. Cause it's very hard to do by yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's really great. So some transformations that you've seen in your practice, any kind of stories or memories of that have really stood out for you?
Yeah, you know, one that I'm really, so happy, a client really recently that I've been working with, she, as long as she can remember, she struggled with constipation since she was a child. And she would have about one bowel movement per week. Sometimes it'd be a little longer, but usually on average, one bowel movement per week. The only thing that helped her at one point, she was taking some medication for it, but it was very expensive and she didn't really want to have to rely on that forever. And we started working together, and within probably around week three or four, she was having multiple bowel movements a week. And by the end of the program, she was having like five bowel movements per week. So she had gone from this like lifelong challenge with her motility to having completely regular, consistent bowel movements. So that was like amazing. And I'm so happy for her because it was really effective. And you know, when you're constipated, you feel heavy, you feel bloated, you feel tired. So she felt so much lighter and just things flowing through. Feels very, very good. So I'm very happy for her.
Yeah. Game changer. It's like,
it's a huge game changer. It's very life changing. Yeah. And I'm thinking of another client that I worked with. She was struggling with intense pain. Actually, she had to take a leave off work because her pain would get to like a 7 out of 10 and she was in bed a lot of the day. It was like very bad gut pain. And it was chronic as well. It happened almost every day. And we started working together. And through the course of working together for these 2 months, she was able to take that down. By the end of the treatment, she was having maybe like a 2 out of 10 sometimes. It never went high like it did before. And she could start working again. And that was, I mean, for me, I love being able to see someone get out of a debilitating state where she literally can't work or do anything to being able to finally, she loves her work. She was a designer, really amazing, amazing human being. And to see her have that freedom again, I just, for me, I'm like, I feel so honored to be able to guide people through this transformation and give them the opportunity to be feeling a lot better in their daily life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, if the end result of your work is like neurostabilization. And then also the fact of the matter is you're empowering people to learn about themselves and do this for themselves in a way, or become aware of gain self-awareness and self-knowledge. Whereas like, you know, medications are great and everything and we need them. But I mean, at the end of the day, they don't teach you a whole lot about yourself. You know, it's, they either help you and you take them and then you kind of just keep taking them versus something like you're offering. It seems like it's a platform for deeper healing.
Yeah, we really want to work on the deeper levels to get to the core, not just addressing the symptoms that are coming up around it, but like figuring out really what's going on a deeper level. And yeah, like this new awareness. And a huge thing is people have become used to overriding their body, to just not listening to their body's signals, to pushing through their body's signals till it's gone too far. So that's also something that we work on, is how do we listen to our body and create space for relaxation, for rest throughout the day. Just little things can even make a really big difference. Little implementations in your life can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. So the we've already talked a lot about kind of the format, and you've done a really great job of explaining things. When people are between sessions or when they graduate from your care, what are they doing like to nurture or nourish the things that you're working on them with?
Yeah. Between the sessions, there's a commitment to listening to one recording per day. Because when it comes to reprogramming the subconscious mind, repetition is key. We're creating a new pathway in your brain, a new way of thinking, a deeper awareness. This takes some practice. So I give like little, they're short. There's like 15, 20 minute recordings that they can do in the morning or at night. So I recommend doing that once a day throughout the course of our treatment. They get a variety of recordings. I also teach emotional processing. So I teach people how to recognize they've got anxiety, stress, fear coming up, and I teach them a really powerful technique to release that emotional charge from their body. They get a recording of that as well, of how to do it. I teach them by themselves, and then they can practice it with themselves, so they have access to that for a lifetime. We also teach breath work to help regulate the nervous system. And I look at this 2 months that I work with people as the ultimate opportunity to help create a new habit of relaxation. And after the program, they don't need to listen to my recordings, but they've got this 2 months of being able to implement sometime in their life when they're relaxing. So they can go on and listen to meditation or yoga or whatever it is that they really like, or listen to my recordings. Some people just keep listening to them because they really, really love them. So it's really just about, yeah, creating these new wellness habits for yourself. And then you get a whole toolbox of things and ways of doing it so you can manage it. Because maybe in the future, some big event happens and you need a little bit of extra support with your gut, then you've got these tools that you can use that are really going to help with that.
That's excellent. And I imagine that, you know, there's sort of flare-ups from time to time where, you know, it's not like they go through your program and, you know, it's, you know, this is it. And they're moving, even though they do receive benefit and they're feeling better. You know, even in my practice, you know, we'll talk about like a flare up from time to time and to expect that. Is that sort of what happens occasionally if people are, you know, say 6-7 months down the road?
It can happen. It can happen. They've shown long-lasting results, but it's still possible to have flare-ups. For women, I've noticed around their menstrual cycles that their digestion can be a bit more challenging. If there's a stressful event or just something going on, it's possible. And then it's just having a completely different awareness now, though, around what's happening and being like, oh, I'm noticing this. Okay, now I know what I can do to help make things easier for me, easier for my body. And just making sure that you do take that time, that you don't just like keep bulldozing through, but that you stop and take a break and check in with yourself and do something,
yeah,
something for yourself.
Yeah, that's so great. Because yeah, I think, you know, when you've gone through some healing and then you do have a flare up and you've actually moved past the major health anxiety and that you've previously had, your brain goes to a different place and you're able to kind of calmly navigate it versus those symptoms, say before a program like yours, would basically be like a vicious cycle. You feel the symptoms, you feel worried, you get more anxiety, you get more cortisol, and then just kind of like this vicious loop of being in a cycle of pain and anxiety, or GI symptoms and anxiety.
Definitely. Yeah, so it helps to break that cycle and make you feel more empowered, that you have more control over your gut, and that you, that you have tools. Instead of it just being an automatic reaction, there's a bit of a space in between that where you have a lot more choice of how to address it.
Yeah, so this has been really helpful, and I wish and I hope all my patients get in touch with you, but I don't know even if you have enough room in your practice. I'm sure you're very busy. Are you actually open for receiving more clients at this time?
Yes, I have room to take on a couple clients right now. For myself, Claire, like I mentioned, I only take on a certain amount of clients at a time, one-on-one. But something very, very exciting is just about a week ago, I launched an online 8-week program. So I have two offers. One is the online program that you can start at any time. It's 8 weeks. It's a standard gut-directed hypnotherapy program for IBS. If you have constipation, mix, diarrhea, whatever it is, it's really going to support you. And there's tons of educational information as well as professionally recorded hypnotherapy sessions. So that's an amazing resource. And then, yeah, working one-on-one with me is my availability. It's visible on my website.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Excellent. Anything else you'd like to add for us that we didn't cover, or any kind of inspirational closing thoughts that you'd like to give us?
Yeah, I think the one thing for me is I really want to inspire hope to never give up on your healing journey. You never know when you're going to find that thing that is going to help you. and to just not lose hope in feeling better. Just because you might not have found it now doesn't mean that you're not going to find that thing that's really going to make a difference, and to keep going and to, yeah, just know there's other possibilities than what you might be aware of, and for your healing, for your evolution, for just living a life that feels so much better to you. And sometimes that requires some life changes. Like, I know life changes can be difficult, but I know for me personally, when I made some changes around the time I was struggling with my depression, anxiety, digestion, there was things that weren't working. I needed to change them. So maybe just taking a look at your life as well and just seeing, is this working for me? Is there anything I can do that can bring me more joy? Even if it's like a hobby, a yoga class, just something that can help improve your life, even if it's little things over a long period of time, it can really help in the long term.
Excellent. That's great advice. And yeah, I like that because I think people, you know, try things, and I think it's normal when, if something doesn't go as expected, to have a letdown and grief from that experience, and, you know, to give yourself some time to heal from, if a therapy or something did not work for you, or a medication didn't work for you, or and then, you know, try to get back at exploring and keeping open to solutions, because like you said, it could be, you know, the next thing you try could be the thing that really helps bring balance. So
definitely, well, there's hope.
Thank you so much for being here. This was really helpful, and I think it will help people access this treatment and this modality and this process with greater confidence and clarity.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so wonderful talking about this with you. I'm inspired by the work that you do as well.
Thank you.
And if anyone's interested in reaching me, my website is gut-directedhypnotherapy.com.
Okay, great. And we'll put all of your links in our show notes and make sure that people have a way of reaching you in the 8-week program. We'll put a link to that too as well.
Yeah. I've got a complimentary 30-minute discovery call. So people can go and book that. If you have any questions, if you're wondering if this might work for you, you can schedule a free call with me, and then we can discuss that in person over Zoom.
Excellent. Yes. Great. Well, thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the One Thing Podcast. Please share these episodes with your friends, loved ones, colleagues, patients, healthcare providers, anyone who you feel might benefit from hearing these informative interviews. We tend to learn best from people sharing things with us. That's often the first time it's introduced. So don't hesitate if the content of these episodes reminded you of someone that might benefit from it. Forward the episode to them, and I'm sure they'll either appreciate it or be appreciative that you've thought of them. So once again, we'll look forward to seeing you next episode on the One Thing Podcast. And again, much appreciation for you being here with me.